Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, dein Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich freue mich riesig, dass du hier bist, denn heute wartet wieder ein ganz besonders tolles Interview auf dich mit dem wundervollen JP Sears. Vielleicht kennst du JP Sears von YouTube, er hat Millionen Videoklicks und Follower und bringt das ganze Thema Spiritualität und persönliche Weiterentwicklung auf eine ganz wundervolle, humorvolle Art und Weise zum Leben. Und ich freue mich sehr, heute dieses Interview mit ihm gehabt zu haben. Und ja, JP Sears ist einfach ein unfassbar witziger Mensch und wir sprechen über Kreativität, wir sprechen darüber, wie wir aus diesem ständigen Denken, wer wir sein sollen, rauskommen und mehr dahin kommen, wer wir sein möchten, wie wir wirklich unsere eigene Stimme finden, wie wir uns trauen, unsere eigene Stimme zu sprechen. Und ja, es ist einfach ein super inspirierendes Gespräch mit jemandem, der genau diese Reise gegangen ist und der sich selbst gefunden hat, der seine eigene Stimme gefunden hat, den Mut gefunden hat, in seiner einzigartigen Art und Weise ja, seine Stimme wirklich zu nutzen für das, was er liebt und heute als Comedian durch die Welt zu reisen und Videos aufzunehmen. Und ich freue mich riesig, dass er hier im Podcast ist und ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude mit diesem Interview. Das Interview ist auf Englisch. Du findest wie immer bei mir auf YouTube und bei mir auf der Webseite in den Untertiteln die deutsche Übersetzung. Das heißt, du kannst es dir einfach anhören und parallel, wenn du möchtest, dazu die Untertitel anmachen und einfach mitlesen. Das heißt, es ist für alle gesorgt und wie immer freue ich mich natürlich auch riesig, wenn du danach bei Instagram bei mir vorbeischaust, @LauraMarlinaSeiler und unter dem Post von heute teilst, was du für dich mitgenommen hast, wie das Interview für dich gewesen ist, was vielleicht ein Soll ist, was du gerne in ein Möchtest veränderst und ja, ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude mit dieser Podcast-Folge. I'm so delighted and so happy to have a really awesome personality on the show today. It's JP Sears, and many of you might know him from one of the funniest YouTube videos about spirituality you might have ever seen. And I'm really happy to have you on the show, JP. Thank you so much for taking your time.
You're welcome, Laura. I really appreciate you having me on and you being weird enough to want to have me on.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely weird enough.
Oh, I can tell for sure. Just talking to you a little bit before we started doing the podcast, I know you're definitely weird. That's why I love you.
And I'm looking so much forward to talk to you today. For everyone who doesn't know who you are, who don't know who you are, could you give a little self-intro? Like, who's JP Sears? Who is that man?
Sure. Yeah, I have no idea who I am, but here's my delusional opinion. I'm a YouTuber. I'm a creator. I'm a comedian. And I could say period there and just leave it there. Yet I'm needy enough. I want to talk more about myself. So let me say more. I also have a long background as a coach doing emotional healing work with people and teaching workshops and retreats around the world. I've been doing that for, it's probably been about 16 years at this point. And when my comedy videos on YouTube started to take off, after a little while, my career transitioned where I'm not doing nearly as much one-on-one coaching work as I used to do. And now I get to really just enjoy my time creating videos, doing a lot of live comedy shows, running my private membership community, helping people grow and develop and heal. So, and probably mostly, Laura, I consider myself a curious student of life.
That's beautiful. And you just mentioned you worked for a long time as a coach yourself, and then you transitioned to making videos, to be a comedian. Has that always been something that you were curious about, like to this humorous part of yourself, or was it something that just showed up through your own personal development? Like how did that happen? What was that always a part of yourself?
Yeah, the humor has always been a part of myself, yes. And there's a little caveat to this story I'll get to in just a second. Yet, you know, much like anybody else who's a comedian, got a well-developed sense of humor, humor is how I dealt with pain when I was a child. You know, instead of, you know, we all have feelings of insignificance, insecurity, you know, really the painful stuff when we're kids. And I think it's part of the human condition. So when I was a kid, instead of feeling that, instead of feeling insecure and insignificant, I would escape those feelings by making people laugh. And, you know, when someone would laugh, I'd feel like I matter to them. So I would feel like I'm significant to them. So it was a very direct way of escaping my inner feelings of insignificance and insecurity. Didn't make those feelings go away. It just meant I consciously was escaping them, denying them. And then so the beautiful thing about that is it helped me develop my sense of humor. And I also, to be real, it's not just all grim shadow side. Humor is also, as a kid, how I brought joy to my life. One of the ways. Now, the caveat, being the comedian, humor, that was never something I envisioned in my professional life. In fact, on the contrary, in my first 13 years or so as a life coach, doing just wonderful work with beautiful people, I thought that my humor was the worst thing for my business. So I would purposely constrict my humor. I wouldn't let it out. I wouldn't let it out into the, you know, if I'm writing an article or making a video, I wouldn't let humor out because I just thought that's bad for business. You know, evolved spiritual people, they're not supposed to be funny. So that was my way of, at the time I didn't know it, but I was trying to be who I thought I was supposed to be. I wasn't allowing myself to be fully myself, partially myself, sure, but fully myself, no. And then, you know, I would call it the urge, just kind of like how a flower, as it's blossoming, it just has this innate urge to express itself. So the flower blossom of my humor about 4 years ago just was blossoming. I couldn't hold it back. So I made my first comedy video, even though I still thought it was going to be bad for business. And I had no vision of like, okay, comedy's a new thing for me. My thought was like, no, I'll make one comedy video, share some perspective through the language of humor, and hopefully it won't be terrible for business, even though I don't think it'll be good. So, you know, I just stumbled my way into the comedy and the professional front one step at a time. And now 4 years later, looking back, I can see I exist in a whole new world that I didn't plan on. I didn't envision. And it's actually beyond my dreams, which is a beautiful place to be. I find my dreams, my goals that I create are usually a bunch of crap. Usually they're created by my small self, my ego, my limited self. So I find the more I allow what wants to live through me to live through me, the better things work out. And it's almost like, nah, I'm not really living my dreams. I'm living beyond my dreams. I'm living a better dream than the dream that my small self dreams up. That's
beautiful.
That's my delusional take on comedy.
Beautiful. Let's go back to that day you were talking about when you recorded your first comedian video. How was that? Like, take me to your mind that day. What were you thinking?
Yeah. I was thinking of many things. First off, it was fun, and it was also insecure. It was fun because I was giving expression to a comedic part of me in a way that I hadn't given expression before. I mean, normally my sense of humor would come out with friends and social situations, and that's cool. That's a great playing ground for it. But now I'm like doing a video, and it's like I have a whole vision for the video. So it was like a new expression. So that was a lot of fun. And it was also insecure, and dare I say, it was scary for me because I didn't know what I was doing. I never made a comedy video before. And, you know, I didn't know if anybody would think it's funny. It was also scary because I thought, well, this might start discredit me in my emotional healing work. You know, this won't be very Eckhart Tolle like of me. So it was all those things. And I here's the most important thing I was thinking. I am amused right now. I'll never forget the ex-girlfriend of mine who I was in a relationship with at the time. She was behind the camera and she was hitting record. And I remember stopping the video, just in a little break. And I looked at her and I said, I don't care if anybody watches this. I am amusing the hell out of myself right now. And I didn't realize that what I was saying would reverberate with so much significance for me, because here, about 4 years later, amuse thyself has become my number one commandment when I'm doing creative work, whether I'm making a video, writing, or doing live stage comedy. As long as I'm amusing myself, I'm on the right track. So that amuse myself was a beautiful experience, and that stands out as the most important thing I was thinking that day, October 4th, 2014, when I was filming my first comedy video.
That's amazing. I think that's such a good advice for everyone, that when you're amusing yourself and you're, I mean, maybe it's something like be in flow or be in... Yeah. In what you really are, what you say, what wants to be expressed through you, you get in alignment with something that just moves through you, and it just feels so good and joy, I guess, just being alive when you.
Yeah,
do that, right?
I think those are such wise words because I agree with them, Laura. My secret to life is, anything I agree with, I call it wisdom. So, but I think what you just said, it's so wise. Being aligned, being in flow, because I can look at my thinking. It wasn't what should I do or say to make people laugh. It wasn't like the should language. I should do this. I should be that. I think that's not flow. That's not alignment with our real creativity or our heart or our authentic voice. I think to be in flow and to be really aligned, in a way, we have to stop worrying what other people are thinking. We can't go after approval. We can't try to meet expectations. We can't abide by the shoulds. We have to be truer to something more true than that. And I think that's being aligned with our creative muse, our heart, our soul, whatever we want to call it. But the experience of it is flow, as you mentioned, and that's a beautiful place to be.
Yes, definitely. And what I was just thinking when you were talking is that when we are in shoulds, or when we try to meet expectations, we put ourselves, I mean, there's a border, then there's like a frontier, there's something we have to overcome, sort of, because in the moment you are in a should, you are not your true potential. How could you be? Because you're trying to be something what someone else wants you to be. Yeah. Because that's maybe why we cannot get into flow when we are thinking in shoulds.
Yeah. And so I think what you and I are saying is people should not think in shoulds.
Yes.
So there's a should.
Exactly.
But, you know, just to add to your wonderful thought, when we're thinking in shoulds and our behaviors are dictated by what we should do or what we shouldn't do, I think the should thinking is really fear-based thinking, because we're afraid of what would happen if I am not loyal to the shoulds and the expectations. I'm afraid I won't get approval. I'm afraid I'll do it wrong. Excuse me. So I think it's really fear-based thinking. And fear-based thinking, I don't think, is what really aligns us and fulfills us. It's certainly not what gets us into a flow state. I think when we're true to the truth beyond the fear, then we're in the flow state. And I think we have to be, you know, as the warriors of life that I think all of us are, in order to transcend the shoulds, at least some of the time, I think we have to be willing to be afraid. Yeah. Otherwise, when we're just doing what we think we should do, we're afraid to be afraid, which means we're like at least twice as scared. But I think the true warrior of life says, here's what I'm really called to do. It's not what I should do necessarily, but it's what I really called to do. And it's kind of scary because someone might disapprove. I might even disapprove of it. So there can be a lot of scary stuff, but the true warrior of life says it's scary and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go there anyway. So I think being willing to be afraid is the key to not being a slave to fear-based thinking. I think the fear enslaves us when we're afraid to be afraid. So we avoid the fear by doing what we should do, trying to meet expectations and, you know, trying to be who we think we're supposed to be rather than letting the miracle of who we really are run wild like a stallion. Yeah. Or a Mustang. What's the right horse analogy? Doesn't even matter.
Mustang, I think, is a good one.
That's a good one, yeah.
So was there anyone through your, let's call it transition, because I think maybe it was some sort of transition from the super serious should J.P. Sears being human to the real J.P. Sears who's living his humor, who's, yeah, just being himself, enjoying himself. Has there been someone who, yeah, who was maybe also guiding you through that transition, or was that just an inner, your inner journey? Or help, did someone help you on your way? And if yes, how?
Well, you know, honestly, yes to all of that. The transition from being only a serious life coach to being more than that, to being a comedian, just all the things I do. It's been very much an inner journey. I mean, going through the whole mysterious dark forest, encountering my fears, encountering my dragons, going through rites of passages. I mean, all the hero's journey stuff, I very much living it inside. Not always perfectly by any stretch. In fact, probably never perfectly. So I love to keep a lot of focus inward because that's where a lot of the call it progress is made, walking the feet inside rather than on the outside. And on the outside, yeah, people have been very supportive to me. Now, there hasn't been one guide, like a strategic guide who says, okay, JP, here's the next move on the professional front. Not at all. And I'm glad it's that way. But the support and affirmation that I get from people in my personal life, be it from my parents, my wife, that is immensely helpful to me. And Al is probably codependent too, but I'm a human being. But the support, the affirmation, the encouragement from people who I care most about really fuels me. And the support from people who I've never met really fuels me as well. So, you know, I've been blessed to have many millions of views on my videos and get to see some wonderful comments online and get to receive messages about some meaningful impact people have encountered from my work. That really encourages me as well. That it's really hard for me to pretend I'm on the wrong track when I'm getting great support and encouragement from people in my personal life and from people all around the world. And I just to be truthful, I think I need that. I'd love to pretend like I'm the enlightened master sitting in the monastery and like, you know, all affirmation is found within and you shouldn't need other people's encouragement. It's like, yeah, you know, whatever, maybe in theory, but I need it. I'm a human being. And so, yeah, it's been immensely helpful to have the outer support of people and the inner support of walking my inner journey as I go.
Are you still nervous when you're doing your videos today? Like when you're recording a new video, are you still like thinking, oh my God, will people like it? Or is it, are you very affirmed in yourself about what you do by now?
Yeah, I feel pretty affirmed when I'm doing videos. I don't feel much sense of worry or nervousness about them. You know, kind of the commandment, amuse thyself, has ingrained itself deeper inside of me. But I would say where I feel more nerves would be when I'm doing live comedy. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just got back yesterday. I did 5 shows over the weekend and super blessed. They were all sold out and you know, 300 people at each show. And that's so exciting to me. And the nerves, they definitely are going in me. I feel alive and it doesn't really register. Like I feel nervous, but I feel the excitement of my nerves because it's just, I don't know. It's a more enlivened experience of like, wow, I'm going on stage in front of 300 people for the next hour. And they're all going to stare at me. I better say something meaningful, funny, whatever it is. So, you know, long answer made short. I think I get more in touch with my nerves, my excitement, and my insecurities through the live comedy shows that I've been doing most recently.
Yeah, that's nice. And what would you say, in which way does humor help to get the message through? Like, I think humor is such a great way because the moment we laugh, we open our hearts. So it's way easier, I think, to let a message get in than in the serious way. What is your experience like for the last 4 years since you really incorporated humor and laughing? And I mean, you're very, I don't know if I have the right word, but you're very ironic very often in your videos. So in which way would you say does it help to get your message through?
Yeah. And first, Laura, I think you and I are made from some of the same stardust because I love your sense of humor. I love how lighthearted you can be. I mean, you show up like a playful child. And I think that is beautiful. I think one of the goals as we mature is to become more childlike. So I think the humor allows deeper messages to be considered in ways that our egos would normally be defended against. So for example, Laura, if I just sat here in a very serious tone and said, Laura, you need to really think about how fear is controlling you. And here's what you're doing with that. You know, if you're like me, Laura, your ego will get a little defensive, you know, when someone's telling you what you're doing and here's how you can improve, even if they're right. Oftentimes we'll get defended. Like, don't tell me. Now with humor, it doesn't look like there's anything to defend against because it's the energy of playfulness. So what I love to do with, and what I think humor offers the great opportunity to do is put in deeper messages. In other words, speak deeper, meaningful messages through the language of comedy. And I think they can go into people's psyches deeper because we don't have the defenses up. We don't have the doors closed before the message even knocks. So the message can get in for deeper consideration. And that's not for brainwashing. It's just for consideration. Of course, people can make up their own minds of like, that's true for me. That's not true. But I think that's cool because once we consider a message deeply in a meaningful way, then we can adopt change most easily. And so I think humor lets us do that. But without the humor, you know, sometimes it's like, all right, here's a message that would allow me to create meaningful change in my life. But because I'm a scared person, which I think is true for all of us, at least some of the time, I reject the message before I can even consider it. Therefore, I don't get the change. So I've been able to speak very hard to hear messages through the language of humor. And of course, they're conveyed through many different ways in a video. They're not just spoken literally. That's why some people, they'll get offended at a video and they don't even know why. Or some people are laughing at a video and they don't even know why, because, you know, there's a message there resonating with them either consciously or unconsciously. And with that said, I think, Laura, humor is not the only way to effectively convey a message. Yet I think it's a way that's pretty authentic to me. And I know it's authentic to a lot of people, but it's not everybody's, you know, main mode of expressing their truth.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think it's a brilliant way to get a message through, because it's like you really have to be very smart, I think, to get like it's another step you have to take to get the message through another message through, sort of. So I think it's brilliant. And I would like to go back for 1 second, because I think it's so crucial, because I know so many people are listening and who are living still very much in shoulds. And I remember, for example, we talked before we had the interview, and I told you that I worked as a coach as well, and that I had the, like, I always thought I'm too young. I should be older to be a good coach. So I was always thinking like, how, what can I do and stuff? And then I just started to say, well, I'm the youngest coach in Germany. So I just tried to make a strength out of it. But, when we are going back to JP before he really integrated the humor into his work, and when we imagine all the people listening right now who are still very much in shoulds and afraid to let it out, and who maybe cannot even say what wants to come out because they never really went there. They didn't even allow themselves to look there. What is behind the should? What would you say, through your own experience, how can we find out who we are behind the shoulds?
Yeah, you know, I think the first step to see who we are behind the shoulds is to first see the shoulds. Mm. You know, the old saying, does a fish know it's swimming in water? Probably not. So if we've been swimming in shoulds our whole life, and all of us have, in my experience, that means we don't really see how many shoulds are running our life. We might not even see any of them. And sometimes, Laura, the plot thickens. I think we will oftentimes confuse and pretend that what we want is what we think we should do. So we even trick ourselves into believing, yeah, these things that I'm shoulding are what I want, when in fact they're not. So I think step one, that is easier said than done, but I think it's a great step to strive for, is let's start to see all the shoulds in our lives. Mm. So what I would invite people to do is write down the 10 things you do every day. You know, get up, get the kids ready, put them, go to school, then you go to work, you do this, this, and this at work, you make dinner. You just write down the 10 things you do every day. And then next to each one, write down, is this something I really want to do, or is this a should? And by the way, just because it's a should doesn't mean you're necessarily going to stop doing it. You know, like, yeah, I feel like I should make dinner for my kids, so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to, no, like this. Maybe you should keep doing it, but you at least start to see all the shoulds in your life. And when you start to label, okay, yeah, this is something I really want to do. I go to yoga. That is for me. I want that. It's not a should. I want that for me. That's awesome. And then you see maybe some other shoulds that you will start to choose, well, that's bleeding away my life energy. Mm-hmm. And I can choose to let some of those shoulds go. And it'll be scary. If you're really letting it go, it'll scare a part of you. There's a reason why we hold on to shoulds for so long. It's comfortable, but it can start to manufacture, a coffin out of our comfort zone. So seeing the shoulds, this is an exercise everyone should do. And if you don't do this, then you're... But I think, it, like Ram Dass once said, the key to get out of jail is to see that you're in jail. That's the first thing you got to do. The key to get out of the shoulds is to see all the shoulds that are around you.
Yeah. And then what will you say once I see the shoulds, but what can I do?
Know that you're helpless and nothing's ever going to get better.
Just give up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if we've got, 7 out of the 10 things on our list are should driven, then once we recognize that, I think the next step is to ask ourselves, what do I genuinely want more than this should? And that's a scary question sometimes, because we've never let ourselves be asked that question. And we don't need to be able to answer that question with pristine clarity. We don't have to truly know. What we do get to do is take our best guess at what do I genuinely want more than this should. And then the third step is to do our best to have the courage to give that thing to us that we genuinely want more. And that thing, it might be in our life for a day, 2 days, a year. And if we stop genuinely wanting that thing, then there will probably be a more meaningful thing that we genuinely want more that takes its place. So I think the old saying, treat other people the way you wish to be treated. That's cool. I think that's the easy part. But the more meaningful part is treat yourself the way you treat other people. I think most of the time, it's especially those of us weirdos in the self-growth world and the new age world. So I think a lot of us in the self-growth world, it's easy for us to treat other people well, give them what they want, but we don't do that for ourselves. So I think it's a great gift for ourselves when we ask and consider, what do I genuinely want? And it's not what will gratify me. You know, the alcoholic will say, what I really want is another drink. It's like, no, that's not what you really want. That's maybe what you're desiring to gratify yourself. It's maybe what the addiction is trying to get, but it's not a real want. So, yeah, I think we become more courageous, and I think we become more loving of ourselves when we are willing to go beyond treating ourselves like a slave to shoulds and asking, what do I genuinely want? And then we do our best to be the fierce warrior and courageously give ourselves that thing because we deserve it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think it was very nice also in your story to really see and hear that it was not easy. It's not that it is easy to do that transition. It's actually where we are, what you said, where we are so afraid of, but we have that voice that just says, go there. There's something that wants to emerge. And I think that's the voice we need to listen to that is afraid, but still it's not the beer that we want. It's the not the beer.
Yeah. In my experience, oftentimes, Laura, is the things that are most meaningful, most purposeful aren't easy. Yeah. Oftentimes there's scariness involved, and oftentimes there's like grace and joy involved as well. But sometimes it's very scary when we're looking to birth something new into our worlds. And And Laura, I know, you know, at the time that we're recording this conversation, you are very pregnant.
Very, you're very gonna be pregnant. Giving birth
anytime. So you're literally going to be birthing something, someone new into the world. And I'm curious, what is your spectrum of emotions on this? What are all the things you're feeling about it?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you ask because I just had a long conversation with my boyfriend about it yesterday because I was just, I feel like on an emotional roller coaster. I'm usually a very centered, calm person in my center. And like this last days, because I know like any day now I'm going to give birth and you just feel everything I think you can possibly feel. You feel joy. You feel so much love. You feel so much fear. You feel so much, I am so, the German word is ungeduldig. I don't know the English word. It's like, I really want it to happen. Like I'm like counting the days, impatient. I think it's the word.
Yeah.
And, it's just everything. It's really difficult to describe. It's just so, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's just really something so much bigger than yourself working through you and you're just, all you can do is surrender and sit with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think everything you just said, if we could all give ourselves permission to feel our version of that, of what you just said, then that permission would really set us up well to live what wants to live through us, for us to say yes to what we genuinely want. Now, I would imagine, Laura, you probably feel all these emotional roller coasters probably 100 times more than I would if I'm looking to give myself something that I genuinely want. And that's why I think it's so interesting to ask you that, because you're probably, they're very strong in you. And I think us learning, oh, what is Laura feeling right now? Okay, there's your joy, love, fear, all those things. We can start to look for the fingerprints of those inside of us. They might be showing up a little more subtly than the intensity in you, but they're still there nonetheless. And I think the key to giving birth is, in one way or another, is allow ourselves permission to feel those things. Yeah. Otherwise, we're avoiding feeling those things, which means we're avoiding doing the thing that is going to give new life to our life. And I think you're in a place, Laura, where, like it or not, you're going to give birth, even no matter how much you try to deny it.
Yeah, I think, yes, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. But I mean, it's good that it is that way.
100%.
I have one question. Do you have a spiritual practice that really helps you to stay clear on your path and who helps you to focus something that you really don't want to miss during your day?
Yeah, I love the question. And yes, I let my spiritual practice change and evolve. But right now, the spiritual practice would be 10 minutes of meditation in the morning and then something else I'm doing throughout my day, which is very new, but I'm loving it. I got this idea from Brendan Burchard, which is after I'm done with a conversation or a task, I'll release tension just through breathing. Just take a minute to do that. And then I set my intention for the next thing I'm going to do by connecting with the feeling that I want to bring into that situation. So, and to me, that's been very exciting. And I think another two pieces of my spiritual practice that have been with me for a while is one, creativity. When I started doing my comedy videos 4 years ago, that was really the first expression of real creativity I allowed myself to have. And creativity has changed my life in such dramatic ways, so beautiful ways. So I think creativity is probably the most essential part of my spiritual practice. And The other part of my spiritual practice that's been with me for a while, and it's related to creativity, but that's voicing my voice. I think we have a voice for a reason, and I think the reason is to use it. And it's usually more comfortable not to. Yet I think we're called to voice our truth and to speak our perspectives unapologetically, while also respecting the different perspectives of other people. And I think my dog agrees with that. And dog is God spelled backwards.
He got so a voice as well. He was like, I'm using it.
No, I'm celebrating. I'm listening.
Do you have, I think that's such an important topic to really make use of your voice. That was also one of my big life learnings to allow myself to use my voice. In which way do you have some sort of routine, or like, how are you just more conscious about what you're saying, how you're saying it, or in which way do you voice your voice?
Yeah, in many ways. And that's such a great question. I love it. Let's make this more practical. For me, it's sort of like it's an abstract experience. It's more of a mantra that I carry with me than a practice. So when I'm in a conversation with someone or whatever it might be, just going in my day-to-day life, it's a reminder of I have permission to voice my voice. And then also noticing when I don't, when I suppress it, and just letting myself be aware of that. I think that's important. And then on the more practical side for me of voicing my voice, I do that through my videos. I do that through my stage comedy and sometimes through just normal social media posting, as well as in my personal relationships, challenging myself to be much more radically honest rather than people pleasing. I think, you know, there's not a person listening to this who doesn't have a voice that needs to be voiced. So I think the only question is, in what way is right for you to voice your voice? What way does it want to be voiced? For everybody, it's not going to be videos. I mean, for you, or podcasting is a awesome way you're voicing your voice. You found your calling. And for other people, it might be writing. It might be sending out one tweet. It might be in conversations with friends. But I think we all have a voice that really deserves to be voiced.
Definitely. And we really need it. I mean, I think the earth really need more voices to be authentic and true and real and loud.
For sure. It's just like, if we don't have bowel movements, we get constipated, and that is really terrible on our insides. But if we, you know, eat our food and let it come through us and we express our bowel movements, that's good for the earth too. That's beautiful fertilizer, unless you're a really toxic person, which is kind of true for voicing your voice. So yeah, our voice needs to move through us just the way we allow food to move through us, or else we get constipated, and that's not very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. JP, you just wrote a book that I would like to talk to you about. In German, it's called, do you know the German title of your book?
I don't. I'm an ignorant American, but tell me. I want to learn.
I read it to you, okay? It's called Reite das Einhorn. Do you know what it means in English?
Would that be how to be ultra spiritual?
No, that is the English title. The English title is how to be ultra spiritual. That would be too easy. No, actually, it is Riding the Unicorn.
Oh, right on. That's awesome.
It's Riding the Unicorn. The translation.
That definitely sounds like something I should know.
And tell us a little bit about your book. I'm holding it in my hands right now, and I love the cover. I mean, already the cover is amazing. So just tell us a little bit about it. Like, what is the book about?
Yeah, the book is, it's meant to be very entertaining. It's meant to give you laughs. It's my take on how to exceed at being spiritually superior. So it's my comedic take on the New Age culture, self-growth, self-help, spiritual culture. And it's so unless your doctor has ever told you, you need to laugh less, then hopefully the book will bring a lot of levity and joy to your life through laughter. But also, along with the laughs and the entertainment, it's meant to deliver deeper messages. It's meant to shine the light of awareness on how our egos can start to control even our self-growth, even our spiritual life. So it's just meant to shine the light on how our egos can start to damage some of the beautiful work we're doing with ourselves. So, that book was a very meaningful way that I got to voice my voice. It was such a blast to write. I mean, hard work too, yet such a blast to write. Brought so much joy to my life, and I've been able to, you know, in the U.S., go do book tours and speak with lots of audiences and sign books. And it just brings a lot of joy to me, seeing the joy that the book brings to other people. And I would also have to say that if you are either gluten intolerant or have an intolerance to laughing at yourself, then you'll need to ask your doctor if this book is right for you.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, a topic you touched with that book, which I think is so important, what you just said, is that sometimes our ego really doesn't really get what spiritual self-development means, or the spiritual path, and that there's, since also like spirituality, because, I mean, I think it's similar in the States than to Germany, that people are using spirituality sort of as a lifestyle. I don't know, but they kind of forget what it is really about. So I think it's just really nice in your book. That's a funny way how we can realize where we sometimes maybe take ourselves a little bit too serious on our spiritual path.
100%. And I was doing that for a long time in my life, taking myself too seriously on my spiritual path, as well as my ego was looking at all the spiritual things I was doing and finding a way to gratify my ego through my spiritual practice, how to use my spiritual practice to make me feel like I'm better than other people, make me feel more significant, which is kind of like using our spiritual practice to make ourselves less spiritual. while we're also doing meaningful spiritual work. So I don't think there's anybody out there who doesn't have their ego involved in their spiritual practice. I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. I think it's human nature. And I think the limitation is when it's happening, but we're not aware of it. So hopefully my book is able to shine the light of awareness so we can laugh at ourselves and say, I do that too. Look at my ego getting involved in my spiritual practice. I always tell people how long I meditate for so that I can make myself feel like I'm better than them, because it's going to be longer than them, that kind of stuff.
That's funny, huh? Our ego's funny. Yeah, but I really like it, and I really recommend the book for everyone who wants to read it. Reite das Einhorn. Reite das Einhorn. Can you say it?
Reite das Einhorn. No.
So JP, what are you most grateful for at the moment? What is something that warms your heart right now?
Being home with my wife right now. I've been traveling a fair bit for comedy shows, and it just really reminds me when I'm away from her for a few days how grateful I am to have her in my life. And, you know, me being at home right now with her, getting to wake up next to her, go to sleep next to her, last night, this morning, she just warms my heart so much.
That's so beautiful. That's really beautiful. You should tell her.
I know. I hope she overheard me saying that.
Well, just an advice from a woman to a man. Just tell her.
That's ironically such a good idea that I never would have thought of, Laura. Thank you. I need to have you on speed dial every morning. Like, all right, Laura, what obvious things should I do that I'm not going to do?
No, but it is this typical man thing. Well, I think she overheard that I said that I love her when she wasn't in the room. So I don't need to tell her. I just tell her.
Yeah, you are so correct.
I have one question I ask every guest in my show. And for that question, I want you to imagine that it's the end of your life. You lived a beautiful life. You get really old, happy, 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 fulfilled life. And there was a technical problem. So unfortunately, your YouTube channel has been deleted. No more books from you. Everything is gone. And I would come by and I would say, JP, I'm so sorry. Everything is deleted. But I have a white sheet of paper and a pen. And you can write on that white paper three of your wisdoms, three things. If nothing else will be left from whatever you said during your lifetime, what would be the three things you would want people to remember?
I think number one is feel your feelings. Number two is laugh at yourself. And number three is always remember that nothing is as it seems.
I like that. Thank you.
And then would I die right then and like my forehead hits the paper, or do I get to live like a few minutes longer than that, Laura?
You get a few minutes more.
Okay, cool. Then I'd probably spell check it. And wouldn't it be funny, like at the very end, like I should spell check this, make sure I spell it all right, and you just die by the sword of the should.
Yeah, that would be sad. And for everyone who's listening right now and who wants to get in touch with you, how do we reach you the best way? How do we find you?
Yeah, the quickest way on social media. All my handles are Awaken with JP, you know, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the places, Awaken with JP. Awesome. And if you care, check out my website. It's always awakenwithjp.com.
Awesome. Thank you. I put that in the show notes. And the very last question, has there been a book on your way that inspired you, a book that you would recommend people to read?
Yes, it's written by one of your guests, Laura. The very first self-growth book that I read, I was 20 years old, Conversations with God, book one by Neil Donald Walsh. That book absolutely impacted me in a way that has just changed my life. Such a wise book that, you know, when I was reading it, it was like this sensation. I'm not learning anything. I'm remembering things that I know that I didn't know that I know. So it was a very deep sense of connection I was making with parts of me I didn't even know existed. It really made a difference in my life.
Beautiful. I had exactly the same experience with it. Yes, I agree. Thank you so much. JP, it was such a pleasure to talk to you. I feel so happy and delighted right now. It was really a pleasure. And thank you so much for sharing in your really authentic, beautiful way who you are, that you voiced your voice, and that you bring in humor into all of our lives. Thank you so much for that. And I'm very much looking forward to follow on your way and to watch all your videos. And just thank you for the light that you are. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're incredibly welcome, Laura. Thank you for having me. Thank you for voicing your voice and doing the work that you do in the world. And I wish you just so much love and support as you're bringing your beautiful child into the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir dieser Podcast gefallen hat, dass dir dieses Interview gefallen hat, dass du gerade genauso inspiriert bist und voller Liebe und Leichtigkeit und dir direkt mal eine Liste machst mit allen Solls bzw. Schutz, die du in deinem Leben hast und schaust, ist das wirklich das, was du gerne leben möchtest? Und wenn du zu dem Thema tiefer einsteigen möchtest, wir haben im Oktober jetzt auch genau dieses Thema im Higher Self Home. Das Higher Self Home ist der monatliche Mitgliederbereich, wo du dich persönlich und spirituell weiterentwickeln kannst, wo du ganz tollen Input bekommst. Und genau in diesem Monat geht es darum, deine eigene Wahrheit zu sprechen, deine Stimme zu finden, deine Stimme zu nutzen und ja, wirklich in deine Kraft zu kommen und dafür einzustehen, was dir wichtig ist. Und genau darum geht's. Also wenn du da gerne Begleitung zu haben möchtest, mehr in deine Wahrheit kommen möchtest, deine Wahrheit mehr sprechen möchtest, wenn du satt bist, in diesen ganzen Sollens und Schutz und so weiter zu sein, dann komm auf jeden Fall ins Higher Self Home. Ich freue mich riesig, wenn wir uns da sehen. Und wie immer freue ich mich natürlich auch, wenn du bei Instagram vorbeischaust, @LauraMarlinaSeiler. Und du kannst dir jetzt auch mein neues Buch vorbestellen, Schön, dass es dich gibt, wo es auch genau um dieses Thema geht, nämlich wie du in deine Kraft kommst, wie du deinen eigenen authentischen Weg gehst und wie du aufhörst, diesem Bullshit-FM im Kopf zu glauben, was dir erzählt, dass du das noch nicht kannst oder dafür noch nicht gut genug bist. Und den Link dafür findest du auch in den Shownotes. Und das war es jetzt von meiner Seite. Ich schicke dir eine riesengroße Umarmung. Es ist so schön, dass es dich gibt. Und rock on und namaste, deine Laura.